Dar ba'ot naram kan e'ora chi'angachai. Dar ba'ot naram kan.
This is KYUK. I'm Anna Rose MacArthur. Thank you for tuning in. For the next half hour, we're having a special conversation with some of the people behind the award-winning documentary film, The Drums of Winter. Filmed in Amonok 40 years ago in the late 1970s, the movie tells the story of dancing and potlatching between Amonok and Alakanuk and the changes to dance culture during the century prior. The film has been digitally restored, and we'll discuss the significance of this film and what we can learn from it today. I'm joined in the studio by one of the documentary's co-producers and directors, Lynn Kamerling. Lynn is also a professor at UAF Museum of the North. Hello, Lynn.
Hi.
Retired UAF Kuskokwim University professor Cecilia Martz is also here. Hi, Cecilia.
Good morning.
And Bob Curtis Johnson of Summit Day Media, who worked to digitally restore the film, has joining us. Hello, Bob. So thank you for being here today. And you're all in Bethel for a screening of the film this evening at 6 p.m. at the Bethel Cultural Center. It'll be followed by a question and answer session with you all. And you held this same screening in Amonok with a conversation following it on Wednesday. And what was that like?
Yeah, that was very, very moving and very exciting because everybody there had some relative in the film, and most of those relatives had passed away. So I think the film really represents a moment in history for people, and a moment when, culturally things were different. And so I think it was very moving for people. And they had a lot of questions about the film and the other material, in other words, the unused material for the film, which is about 30 hours of various material, tapes and film. And, we discussed bringing that material back so it would be a complete archive of Drums of Winter, material that would be in the community.
Was anyone alive who was in the room, who was in the film?
Yes, people who were children at the time. And, some people came up to me and said, you remember that little boy that was sleeping in the dance in the Kazugetkyo? That was me. So, yeah, there were people there who were, who were children at the time. But for the older people, the elders, no, there's nobody left.
And so what questions or reactions were people having during the conversation following the film?
Bob?
I don't know if satisfaction is the word to use, but just a great, appreciation and gratitude that it is there and that it works like a time machine in a lot of ways because I have to honor the filmmaking style and the collaborative arrangement that Len and Sarah had with the community. But the film is just, it doesn't try to tell you heavily anything. It just presents what they saw and they've edited it so well that you just are experiencing that. You are there, you are in the Kazuyuk, the Kashim, you are there as they prepare, you are there during the potlatching. You can transport, you can go back in time and be with those people again. And we heard that directly from folks who watched the film simply to be there again and be in that time. And then younger folks. Len was a little bit of a rock star signing autographs for the younger generation of dancers that were there. So that was fun too.
Yeah, the film is like, it's like a magic window into the past, like a snapshot of a moment in the past. And that was a very vibrant and alive moment. And so our intent in the film was just to bring people into that moment and not interpret it or tell the audience, how they should watch it or what they should think, but just really bring people into that moment. And, and I think it's been very successful in that way.
And can you speak on, Len, the collaborative process and what that was, why it was unusual?
Mm-hmm. Well, In the early 70s, my film partner, Sarah Elder, and I came up with an idea to make cultural films in a different way than they had been made. Usually they were scripted and, you know, there was this kind of plan. But because we had lived in Yupik communities ourselves...
Which communities?
I had lived in Kasigluk, and Sarah lived for a year in Imanak as the first high school teacher there, that the content of the film really should be a collaboration between the filmmakers and the people who are going to be in the film. And I guess in filmmaking and in, you know, anthropology as well, that was kind of a radical idea of the time. But it worked very, very well. And we set out to make films that we called community collaborative films, where we would go into a community, start this process, but not have an idea of what the film was going to be about, and then just see where it went, you know, and a door would open and, you know, we would discover the story. In Imanak, Sarah had already been there for a year as a teacher, so we had a head start. She had had many friends within the dancers in the community. We were there for 4 months and, you know, had no idea in the beginning what we were going to do. But one door after another opened and, you know, we were brought into that world of the Kuzugik and the dance.
Why did you hone in on that particular aspect?
I think because both Sarah and I had experienced Yupik dance and had been very moved by it and knew that it was something that had been repressed in many, many areas by, you know, by the church, and that the places that where it did survive indicated a really remarkable and vibrant and strong culture, and you know, that should be, you know, we thought that would be the subject of a really interesting film. Of course, we didn't know it would take us 10 years. But it's good you never know what you're getting into when you start something. Otherwise, we'd never do anything.
And Cecilia, as someone from the region, from the culture, when you see this film, what is it that stands out to you?
Quite a number of things. First, I'd like to explain that I've known Lynn for maybe 30 years. And I was really happy that... they were doing this filmmaking that included the people, you know, not just outsiders coming in and doing their thing and leaving. But that the videos, the films that he made were very important, especially for me in my classes at the college, because they presented a truer picture of what life was like in the villages than, you know, books, because a lot of us are like visual learners, and they learned a lot from those films. And the viewing of those films brought me back as a Yupik, part of the Yupiks, brought me back to things that were passing on, you know, things that are, for instance, there's a lot of rules and regulations that you're supposed to follow when you're dancing that are not being followed today. So it was really good to see those things that were once very visible to me as a little girl and not seeing them today, you know.
What are some of those things?
For instance, when people are dancing, like at the Chamay Festival, you see a whole bunch of people up on the stage. At that time, when I was growing up, only certain groups of people were designated a song and a dance to sing and, you know, to dance. So you might have 5 or 6 people that could do that particular dance. And that one. And if you were lucky, maybe you danced twice during the dance festival or whatever you're doing. Because the singers and the drummers, they knew whose songs were being sung at the dance and which family group they were coming from. So 5 or 6 people would be dancing up there, not a whole bunch of people like they do today. And for instance, you have to do a certain stance for instance, for the women, you'd be standing and you look at only them in front of you, not looking around. And your dress, your demeanor, your all those things are portrayed in the film, in the video, or whatever it is right now, a disc.
We say film, but it's
okay, film.
It's generic.
And anyway, those also, the films were important to me when I was teaching classes. So a lot of the people were being, they were introduced those things that were passing them by without explanation. So I would explain those things in the classroom when I was teaching at the college. So very important to me.
And did anyone in a mnemonic on Wednesday night when you showed the film there speak on how dance has changed in their community?
They didn't really speak about that, but I think that there are still potlatches there, and there are young people learning to dance. And one of the man that's teaching them was actually in the film, appearing as a young man. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
yes.
But people mostly talked about the continuity, the sense of continuity that the film gives them of being able to look back on their relatives, on their culture at that time, and what could be learned from it, and the importance of having that sense of continuity. And I think the young dancers were very taken with that as well.
One thing that Marvin had mentioned was that the desire for folks to be less careful. They're sort of maybe a little tentative, maybe a little concerned about dancing the wrong way. But if you watch this film, you see quite confident, quite assertive, quite energetic, forceful dancing, and even seems like, especially with the younger dancers, maybe don't quite get to that complete ownership or confidence in their movements that he would like to see, and that is quite evident in parts of the film.
So in the film, there were younger people saying that they were afraid, and they foresaw just dancing disappearing from their culture, and over the last 40 years, that obviously hasn't happened.
Yeah, that's when we show this film outside, that's the first question that people ask is, so what happened? Is it, did it die away? Is it still around? And I, talk about the incredible renaissance in dance that's happened in this area.
Mm-hmm.
And, how alive it is and how that shows what a vibrant cultural form it is, because it had the ability to change and shift and become something new. And that, now you're liable to hear, songs made about how bad the traffic is in Anchorage, and basketball, as much as you hear, ancient songs that are passed down in some form from long ago. And that's a sign of an incredible kind of resiliency in that form.
During that time when it was repressed, for instance, in my village in Chibok, it was repressed for about 40 years.
Mm-hmm.
And then it revived, it came back. The elders decided they were going to continue the dance. And the last, I don't know how many years, the schools have picked it up. The dance is very alive and well. It's just the style or the way it's done that's changing over the years.
And so this film has received some of the highest honors that a film can, and it included being added to the Library of Congress's National Film Registry in 2006 in recognition of its significant value to American culture. And can you explain what is that cultural value?
It's not just diversity. I think one of the things that the library is trying to do with this is make a statement that this is America. And the films that are included quite often include Hollywood films, but they go quite deeply across home movies, independent cinema, certainly documentaries, and lots of existing cultures that were here from the founding and long prior to that. And this is a recognition that this film says something powerful about America and needs to be permanently preserved. I just wanted to make sure that that people realize how important this film is to the country, and I think that's a celebration for Alaska and certainly for the YK Delta area of Yupik culture, and recognizing that this is important for the world, and not even just America, and not even certainly just Alaska, but this is a documentation that needs to survive in perpetuity forever.
It's the only Alaska-produced documentary to be included in the National Film Registry. And I think one of the first native language films that have been included in the registry.
And so as part of it being preserved, it's been recently digitally restored. And how long did that process take? What's involved with that?
Well, I think, Len, at least in my experience, I think this may be the most complete preservation process for any Alaskan film that I'm aware of. Many have been done, but this was a complete photochemical rebuild of the film from the original assembly reels that were made for the original internegative. With this kind of a film, when the filmmakers go out, they would go out and shoot a film that could be processed directly into a positive, they would be used to create an internegative that would then result in the positive prints that were distributed.
So what does that mean?
And sounds very complex, maybe. But in filmmaking on acetate films, you had many layers that were made. And so we went back to those early layers, grabbed the original elements, and put them to new, longer-lasting film. And the reason we did that was because film probably, and I can almost say certainly, will outlast digital. And that's not the way many of us think, but that is very likely to be the case. We have 100-plus years of creating with film and studying it, and we know how it lasts when we put it in a cold room. It can last for a long time. Polyester film can last 500 years, and that's not a guess. That's very accurate. So we made polyester in negatives and then a polyester positive print, and then we went and made the digital elements. We scanned those to above high definition quality digital, worked with the color extensively, and then created high definition Blu-ray and DVD copies from that for people to see. So it was quite a lot of work, took several years, and Len and Sarah were involved in the process, and Len's been quite, had a lot of input, which is, have to be grateful as a preservationist, because the original filmmaker is there and we can know their intent and their desires and colors, and all of that input is really valuable.
Mm-hmm. And we couldn't really have done this without Bob's expertise, because he sort of guided the path through this. But in the digital restoration was quite an amazing thing, because it just exceeded my most optimistic hopes of what this would look like. Mm-hmm. And they were able to fix problems that we never dreamed we could fix in film, and just correct the color and deepen it. And it just like it opened it up. It's almost three-dimensional in a way. And it was quite an amazing process, and the results are extraordinary.
Yeah, I watched it too, and it's just really, really good to watch, because I've seen the other ones, and this one is one of the best, however you saw it, visually,
yeah.
I've seen.
Our Waukee Charles, who is our from Emonic, and he was our main language advisor and coordinator. He's from Emonic, and when we showed the new one in a scene in the Kuzigik, what used to be dark shadow now was illuminated, and he could see his father there.
Mm-hmm.
and his father who had passed away. So that was a really wonderful thing. So it it sort of just deepened and opened the film in a very, you know, magical way.
If I could take 2 seconds to just recognize the level of support that it takes to do work of this nature. We had contributions from the National Film Preservation Foundation, the Rasmussen Foundation. KYUK has been there right from the beginning, helping support the preservation work, and now again to support this tour to bring the materials back. Raven is certainly is helping us, and Donlin Gold has been supportive of both of those efforts, and lots of folks have come together. YPC is sponsoring the screening tonight and want to make sure everyone knows that it's a free event. That's important. We wanted to make sure that people could come and see this film however they can. BNC was a supporter by screening it at Zurich, if I'm pronouncing that correctly, last weekend. It's just a community coming together around this work to bring it back in a way that really hasn't been seen before at this level. Even film projection screenings look different, and there's a lot of desire to see things on film itself, but the reality is we live in a digital world now, and the generation coming up will see this digitally, and it's going to look spectacular tonight.
And lastly, do you have a moment from the film that particularly stands out to you, that moves you or maybe takes you back in a certain way?
For me, I think one of my favorite moments that I never get tired of watching is towards the end of a dance in the Kuzigik, a woman named Mrs. Kasich gets up and demonstrates a stand-up dance, which is way further upriver. And it's just a moment of just wonderful energy and vibrancy, and everybody is so, you know, just captures that moment. And I've watched that hundreds of times, and I never get tired of watching it.
Well, I watched that very closely, too. I watched the whole film just with my full attention, the whole film. And some of the things that people have mentioned to me were the teasing that went on. And mm-hmm. some people that are outside of our culture didn't understand what was going on. Mm-hmm, yeah. So you have to explain a few things in the content. And I'm going to be doing that tonight. You can explain a few things.
Can you explain some of that now?
The teasing, it's very complicated. It probably take me 3 hours to explain the whole thing. But in our culture, we have what we call, in our English terms, cross cousins. That's your mom's brother's kids and your dad's sister's kids. We have a cousin line, and we call it cross cousin, and you can tease each other forever, and you could tease them really horribly or really hard. It's like notching your gun every time you tease. You go up the teasing all the way until you can't tease anymore. And that went on in, you know, the part of the film where these two older men were teasing each other. So things like that in the film.
Well, thank you all for joining me today, Len, Cecilia, and Bob. I've seen the film. It's moving. It's beautiful. It's definitely significant. And you can watch it tonight at a free screening at the Bethel Cultural Center. It's starting at 6 o'clock, and it'll be followed by a question and answer session with the people I've been speaking with today, Len, Cecilia, and Bob. And thank you for tuning in. You've been listening to KYUK. I'm Anna Rose MacArthur. Take care. Ganira ne ach dot dan ya ach ha ha ye ach na dag wat na ram kan e u ga ya na ha ju got na ram kan bi ganira
tant de tirs.